Just listening to the first of the songs of Kabir dating from 2005. The selection was titled Friend Wake Up and performed by the Arc Duo. The music was by Judah E. Adachi, who is here in the WPRB studio. The Arc Duo consists of flutist Heather Holden and guitarist Bradley Colton. Set to be embarking on a promising career by the Washington Post, composer Judah E. Adachi has been honored with awards and commissions from the American Academy of Arts and Letters, the ASCAP and BMI Foundation, the Aspen Music Festival, as well as three residencies at the Yadu Artist Colony. Mr. Adachi is on the Composition and Music Theory faculty at the Peabody Institute of the Johns Hopkins University. He is also the founder and director of Baltimore's Evolution Contemporary Music Series, noted for having added a welcome dose of newness to the local concert scene by the Baltimore Sun. His principal composition teachers have been Nicholas Moore and John Harbison. He holds degrees from Yale University and the Peabody Conservatory of Music of the Johns Hopkins University. Well, Judah E. Adachi, as I mentioned, is here with me in the WPRB studio and will be my guest until 10 o'clock. Judah, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Marvin. I appreciate it.
Yes, it's great to have you here, and I've listened to the music you've sent me, and I have to say, your stuff really is beautiful.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
And it's great to be able to have the opportunity to expose a tremendous amount of it in this next hour and a half to the listening audience. Before we go to more music, let's go to your early years.
Okay.
What were your early musical experiences, and how did you get into composition?
I grew up in a pretty musical household. My mother loves classical music, and my father is a very good pianist and just a very good musician, has a very good ear, plays piano very well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of grew up listening to classical music around the house. I started taking piano lessons when I was very young, typical mm-hmm. age, around 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And at the Peabody Institute, where I teach now. So I grew up in Baltimore and was taking lessons there. And I didn't really get into the composing part of it seriously until pretty late, probably the end of my college years.
Oh.
What I was doing along the way was I was in some of Yale's a cappella groups. So I did some arranging. I did things like that. And then I really started composing when I was a senior in college. It's probably when I wrote my first, so-called classical notated piece of music when I was a senior mm-hmm. in college, and then kind of took off from there.
Rest is history. When were you interested in contemporary music?
That also probably took a while. I would say when I started composing, so end of undergrad, around, age 22, I didn't know much, contemporary music. I mean, I think I was like most people. I think for me, contemporary was still kind of, early to mid-20th century. And I probably found that kind of forbidding. I didn't really know what was being done right then. I started to get exposed to it at Yale. There was a good sense of, Yale has a very vibrant composition scene, so I started to get a little bit of a taste of it then, and it went from there. I think the first music that probably spoke to me, contemporary music that spoke to me, was some of the mid-century American music, Aaron Copland, Samuel Barber, Ned Roram, Irving Fine, sort of this lyrical vein of American music. And since then, I think everything's really kind of gone from there. It's become, it's expanded until, music from the present, to the present day, obviously. Yeah.
And I think what's so exciting, and I know we'll discuss this a little bit later on, is that the music of today can, there's something for everybody.
That's what's very important to me, is that I think you're absolutely right. I think the image that people have of contemporary music is kind of fixed in the past, and I think when they realize what's been done, in the last 50, 60 years since World War II, it ranges from the gamut that it runs is very, very broad, mm-hmm. all the way up to music that really invokes and draws directly on the pop music that people grew up with.
Sure.
I think that makes, the question of accessibility, which is always sort of the good and bad word in contemporary music, is it's hardly a question anymore. I think you just have to find the music that speaks to you.
And, another point, too, is that when you're teaching young students, quote, classical music, and I don't know how much I enjoy that term. I really don't, to be honest with you.
It's a loaded term, yeah.
It's a loaded term.
It's a historical term,
It's a historical term. I don't really care much for it. But when you can get young students realizing that music, let's say concert music or things that are not just pop, the stuff they listen to, that there is music written by composers today that are very much alive. It's not all dead composers,
right.
Anything but. And I think this is something that schools could do a lot more in exposing the music of today, because there is so much music there that can communicate with the young people because it's within their experience.
Well, it's within their experience, and just like you said, I mean, even the mere fact of a composer being alive can be a foreign idea. I mean, the kids don't necessarily grow up thinking there are people writing music right now as we speak. And I spend a lot of time with my composition students from ages, 13 through undergrad through adults, kind of emphasizing that fact that, you also don't necessarily have to go in order. You don't have to start with Bach and work your way up. There's every reason to say, let me play you a piece by Derek Bermel and kind of show you how engaging that can be. And this guy is, very much doing this right now and very much influenced by the music he's hearing around him right now in America and in other countries.
Yeah, it's so true. In forms that were so popular back in the Baroque and classical period, many composers are going back to those
today
with our sounds of today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very exciting. It's very inspiring.
Well, you mentioned something about the pop influences and some music written today, and I guess that's a good segue for this next piece.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you do that on purpose?
I didn't. But I'm glad you saw the connection.
Yeah.
But as a composer, I should have claimed credit. I should have said, yeah, I set that up. Sure.
Yeah, that would have looked nice. But we're going, this is actually, this is a very beautiful work of yours for violin and small orchestra titled Grace, which was written in 2001 in memory of the late rock musician Jeff Buckley. Now, this work was selected by David Zinman, music director of the Aspen Music Festival, to receive the 2002 Jacob Drucman Award for Orchestral Composition. Grace was also recognized with the 2003 ASCAP Foundation Morton Gould Young Composer Award. Judah, why don't you take over and share with all of us a bit more about this work and our performance?
Of course. Well, first of all, the performers that you're going to hear are, this is the Aspen Sinfonia. This was premiered at the Aspen Music Festival. The conductor is Markan Thakkar, who actually teaches at where I teach at the Peabody Institute. And the soloist is Lev Polyakin. He's a wonderful violinist. He's the associate concertmaster of the Cleveland Orchestra, wonderful orchestra, of course. So as Marvin said, the piece is inspired, dedicated to the memory of Jeff Buckley, a rock musician who died tragically very young, 1997. I probably became exposed to his music around that time. I didn't really know it before that. Now, I mean, in a way, the rock or pop sort of segue we gave you, you know, could be a little misleading in that it's very much a classical, romantic piece of music. But for any of you who know his music, I do think that you can hear influences from that. So it's sort of his sound world, which in some ways is not a traditional rock sound world. It brings in classical and ethnic musics of all kinds. Mm-hmm. I hope that that spirit is captured a little bit, especially by the way the, you know, a lot of the violin writing kind of sings above a drone. I think a lot of that comes from his language and his sound world, which is this very ethereal singing he does, often in falsetto and just really haunting stuff. And especially given his story that he died young, I was very moved by it. And he's still a musician that I really admire. And I mean, it's a nice... Yeah. connection that it's not dedicated to a classical musician. It's really the connection for me had to do with this very special rock artist.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear it now. We listen to Grace by my guest, Judah E. Adachi.
Thank you. Thank you.
a very beautiful piece for violin and small orchestra titled Grace. The composition was written in 2001 by my guest, Judah E. Adachi. Judah, who were our performers?
Once again, that was Markan Thakkar conducting the Aspen Sinfonia at the Aspen Music Festival. The soloist, the wonderful soloist, was Lev Polyakin, Associate Concertmaster for the Cleveland Orchestra.
Very good. Thank you so much. And Judah E. Adachi will be my guest up until 10 o'clock. And then I will have a second guest today, another American composer, Robert Moran. Good morning. The time is 8:54 on Wednesday, May 11th, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday between 5:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. I do switch gears at around 11 o'clock with more modern and electronic works on Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. Thank you so much for joining me today. Well, Judah, let's go back to you. Thank you again so much for coming. It's great to have you here, and we've been having some wonderful conversations off microphone, and I wish we could get to all these topics.
Absolutely.
But we're going to do the best we can. You were born here in the United States of Israeli parents. How has your heritage inspired your music?
Well, it's a good question, and it's funny. It's not something I ever consciously thought about, to be honest with you. And in fact, I grew up Israeli parents, but in a very non-practicing Jewish household. And, you know, I would be, on one hand, I did spend time in Israel. We traveled there maybe half a dozen times when I was young. So it was part of my cultural life, but it wasn't part of my, you know, it wasn't a big feature of my day-to-day life. But then it was actually this piece we just heard, Grace. Mm. You know, I wrote the piece. And suddenly, a lot of people were asking questions.
You hear that.
Yeah, suddenly a lot of people were saying, "Yeah, boy, there are a lot of, you know, Middle Eastern and sort of Semitic elements in this piece."
Sure.
And I was kind of shocked. I said, "Really? I didn't." And you know, of course, they were right. You know, I was drawn as a pianist to Spanish music, which I would say shares something with this this language and the kind of ornamentation and the kind of. You know, I mean, there's a certain sound world, again, sometimes with the drones I think in the kind of singing ornamented language. And so it came about in the best way, which is kind of unconsciously. I guess it was just part of, it was in my blood. It was in my, so it's not something I ever think about. And I haven't actually written anything explicitly, you know, expressly connected with my Jewish heritage.
I know. I actually noticed.
Yeah, there's no sacred music, and it may still happen. But I was actually very pleased that it just kind of, you know, at first I was kind of, like I said, I was surprised to have it pointed out to me. They say, "Oh, well, those elements are very much here," and I think it did wake me up to the fact that that's a sound that I like. That's a sound that I'm drawn to in other people's music, and. You know, not necessarily overtly, but sort of in the fabric of the music, it's there, and it is a sound that speaks to me, and so I think this was the first piece where it came out in such a sort of thoroughgoing way.
Yeah, well, it is a wonderful work.
Thank you.
And well, other influences in your music.
Other influences in my music. Well, again, I grew up playing piano, and I've mentioned Spanish music, which I first encountered as a pianist. I mean, you know, little things that you remember from your background as a musician. I mean, I played this beautiful piano piece, The Maiden and the Nightingale by Enrique Granados, and it's just this very expressive, harmonically rich piece, lyrical. And that, you know, that as people don't talk every day about Spanish music, you know, Enrique Granados is sort of an important name to some pianists, but in general, it's not someone you hear every day. But it actually, that piece made a really strong impression on me. I grew up around rock and pop as well. The Beatles were a big presence in my household, and certainly a lot of current music as I was growing up. In classical music, I think the way things have evolved for me my first composition teacher and my principal mentor, Nicholas Ma, English composer who passed away in 2009. And that actually kind of made me see some, made me a bit of a musical Anglophile. It made me realize some music that I really liked was the music of Benjamin Britten, which is a strong inspiration for me. A couple of other older composers that I think are really important influences. Schumann really speaks to me a lot. And the music of Leos Janacek, who's not, you know, by, again, not another name that is probably should be better known than he is.
Yeah.
Czech composer, turn of the, you know, lived until 1928. Really beautiful, expressive piano pieces. And of course, he's best known for his operas. I think that's probably what people know. As far as more recent music, I would say that the music of Jorge Ligeti really speaks to me a great deal. You know, he was kind of... I think all the you know, young composers, when I was first just delving into composition, you couldn't have a conversation without his name coming up. And I didn't really know much about him. But over time, I've really come to appreciate the way his music really transcends a lot of the sort of stylistic dramas of sort of the middle and third quarter of the 20th century. He really kind of found a way to do his own things. You know, he referred to his harmonic language as non-atonality, which is a really nice way to put it. You know, it's not